My guest at this time is Denise Harley, legal counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF was very much involved in a major case being argued at the Supreme Court on Tuesday. The case is officially known as National Institute of Family Life Advocates versus Becerra. Becerra is in reference to California Attorney General Javier Becerra. The state recently passed a new disclosure law that requires pregnancy centers to inform clients about abortion as an option. The pro-life centers say that is forced ideological speech and a violation of the First Amendment. So Denise joins us now to talk about how oral arguments went on Tuesday and why this case is so significant. And Denise, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, from what I've read so far, it seems as though Justice Anthony Kennedy and the conservatives on the court are largely agreeing with your argument that this is forced speech. So explain your position in this case and what you heard from the justices today.
That's right. We are very optimistic. Our position is a really simple First Amendment principle, and that is that Americans can't be forced by the government to promote messages that conflict with their beliefs. The First Amendment guarantees that freedom of speech means that Americans can be compelled to speak or forbidden to speak. And here, California has enacted a law forcing pro-life speakers to advertise for the abortion industry. And as it seems like you've sensed from this morning's transcript, we think we're very hopeful that we have several justices who agree that that's just a basic First Amendment violation.
With the important caveat, of course, that you can't necessarily draw conclusions from oral arguments. We've certainly seen that surprise in a couple of cases before. Obviously, the Ninth Circuit, for example, ruled in favor of the state, saying that it was professional speech. Other courts have disagreed. The required notice says California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, including all FDA-approved methods of contraception, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. So explain exactly what these clinics were required to do. How prominently did this have to be displayed? Did they have to refer the patients to it? What was the requirement from the state?
Sure. So on the license notice that you just described, the sign has to be in 48-point font in the waiting room, and it actually gives a number to call. It says California provides free and low-cost abortions, as you said, and call this number to find out information. So if you can imagine women coming into the pro-life pregnancy centers, and what they see in the waiting room is this large, conspicuous sign. In fact, the law even says it has to be in clear and conspicuous placement and in multiple languages that tells them where to go get a free or low-cost abortion. And if they call that number, they will actually be referred to Planned Parenthood or another abortion clinic. So this is it interrupts our the pro-life center's message to these women, and it's not only confusing, but it's a severe burden on the consciences of these centers that exist solely to defend life, because they believe life is precious and to encourage childbirth, and for the government to force them to promote abortion is just completely wrong. And It only applies to pro-life speakers, which I think is so concerning about this law, is that it exempts out all other doctors, it exempts out all for-profit healthcare providers, and it exempts out even the nonprofit, just general community clinics if they aren't primarily pregnancy-focused. So it clearly targeted just at the pro-life views.
Yeah, that's an important point here, because as the Los Angeles Times says, the Becerra defense here is, quote, that he's defending the disclosure law, saying that it ensures women who visit faith-based pregnancy centers are fully informed of their options for care. Based on what you just said, Denise, it doesn't sound like Planned Parenthood has to post signs saying that women have an option other than abortion, such as pro-life pregnancy centers.
That's right. In fact, no one else has to get this information out. And California itself, with its abundant resources, hasn't attempted to get the information out through, for example, a public service a publicity campaign, or, you know, all of the ways that the government connects with its citizens. The government is completely capable of promoting this information and getting it to people. It makes no sense that if you were wanting to get a message to all women or low-income women, you would only use a select few number of nonprofit faith-based charities to get that message out.
Denise, as you worked on this case, how many of these clinic directors or employees did you have a chance to speak with, and what did you notice about their frustration with this and their refusal, obviously, to go along with it?
It's been a real joy to get to know some of the executive directors of these centers and the volunteers. And what I've heard time and time again is that, you know, an adverse Supreme Court ruling and this law itself is just adds layer upon layer of burden. So not only are the clinic workers have their conscience burden, and they have a really serious decision whether to work in a place that posts signs promoting free abortion. I mean, can you imagine having your whole existence being based on pro-life views and yet having to be a billboard for free and low-cost abortion? So not only are the volunteers and the staff burdened, their consciences are burdened, but also, you know, they run completely on generous donations from people who believe in the mission of encouraging life and encouraging motherhood and childbirth. And those donors are even burdened with a conflict. What am I doing now if I'm supporting these centers, but they're, you know, having to advertise for abortion? Is this even something I can continue to support? And then the third piece of that is the advertising requirement, which we haven't gone into in detail, but the law also requires for certain centers to put in every single one of their advertisements this 29-word disclaimer in multiple languages, and it makes it completely impossible for them to afford to do, like, internet advertising, newspaper ads, billboards. And so yet again, their voices are silenced, and it's really heartbreaking. And so that's why we're just so hopeful that we're going to get a good ruling very soon.
Denise, you mentioned the anguish that these directors and employees are going through as they fight against this law that passed in the state of California. Branch it out to a bigger picture, though. What's the impact on not only the pro-life movement, but on free speech in general if our read of the oral arguments is not accurate and somehow the law is allowed to be upheld?
So that's a really important point, because at bottom, this case really isn't about abortion or Roe v. Wade. It's about free speech. And it's a basic question of whether the government can compel private speakers to speak a message that they disagree with, or frankly, they just don't want to say for any reason. And so what's so dangerous about the Ninth Circuit's ruling that you referred to on, you know, calling this, quote, professional speech, or, you know, if it's something that the Supreme Court has never recognized. So if the doctrine of regulating a commercial speech or professional speech is expanded to truly any individual or group of individuals, you can imagine what can the government make a church soup kitchen post, right? I mean, there almost seems to be no limit to what a government could do if it decides it doesn't like a certain viewpoint, it doesn't like a certain advocacy group or ideology, and it's going to impose these burdensome disclaimers on them. That is just going to silence and suppress free speech, and anyone on any side of any issue should be really concerned about a government that has that much power.
Seems like there's some parallels between this case and the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that ADF is also very much involved in. We'll see what those verdicts are. It's March now. I'm guessing we're about 3 months away from figuring out what the court's official rulings are. Denise, thanks very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Take care.
You too. Denise Harley, legal counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom on the side of the clinic in this case, officially National Institute of Family Life Advocates versus Becerra is the case. A court ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court is due, as I mentioned, before the end of June. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.